Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
You are very welcome to the Ireland's Birth Stories podcast. My name is Cora Gernon. I created this space for women to share all of the details surrounding their pregnancy, labour, birth and everything in between without feeling shy about the detail. Sit back and enjoy over 100 hours of birth stories told by you, the listeners. Good morning. I hope you're all doing well. I don't know about you, but I've certainly enjoyed getting back to normal, getting back to routine and packing the lunch, getting ready for the day ahead. I actually really enjoy that rather than having no structure to my day. So anyway, before we dive into this week's episode and I share some details on my guest's story, I want to send so much love and strength to Branna, Ross and little Evie. Previously, I spoke to Branna and she shared Evie's birth story along with her story in suffering early pregnancy loss. And she's currently heavily pregnant, 39 weeks, I think, at this stage with her second baby. But they're going through a really, really rough time with little Evie. So I just wanted to send them so much love and support. And I know you will join me in doing the same. I don't know whether you're religious or who you go to, what you tap into when you need to send someone love and what they need to get them through the next few days, weeks and months. So I'm thinking of them, can't stop thinking of them and won't. And I just hope everything's okay. This week's episode, I chat to Alice. This is a pre-baby chat. So I spoke to Alice back in April last year and she shared her all through her pregnancy. So she was 38 and 4 at that stage and she spoke to me about her pregnancy, her situation. So she was a solo mum. The relationship broke down very early on in the pregnancy and she chats about that. She talks about her mental health throughout her pregnancy. She did struggle a little bit and she got the support she needed from the hospital. She attended all the classes on offer, the antenatal classes, and she did a lot of preparation. We did speak the other day about her birth experience, which I will share on Thursday. So I'll pop up some images on Tuesday or Wednesday of the first few moments with her son. So thank you, Alice, for sharing your story. I really appreciate it. I think it's a really nice insight into how important preparation is and how far it can go. So thanks again. If you would like to share your story, you know where to go. Pop onto the website, irelandsbirthstories.ie, click on the Share Your Stories tab and fill out a few details and I'll get back to you as soon as possible. The waiting list now is not as long as it was because we are bringing you 2 episodes a week, so you won't get an email with a 2024 date. Enjoy the rest of your week and I will talk to you on Thursday. So Alice, you are very welcome to the Ireland's Birth Stories podcast. Thank you first of all for your patience. I know we've been trying to chat a few times this week, but we're finally sitting down to this conversation that I've been looking forward to. So you're very welcome.
Thanks so much for having me.
Do you want to just tell me a little bit about yourself and then we'll chat about, I know you're how many weeks pregnant at the moment?
38 and 4 days, not that we're counting.
I had Oliver at 38 and 2, yeah. So
I was thinking of you actually the other day when I went past that day.
Yeah, it can happen. It's so exciting once you get past the 37 weeks. You're ready I'm waiting. Yeah. Yeah,
definitely. So yeah, my name is Alice. I am from South County, Dublin, born and raised, live here still. I am 29. I am actually 30, 10 days after my due date, so I might have a baby in my 20s or my 30s. Yeah, I'm pregnant with my first little boy, and I am going to be solo parenting.
So tell me a little bit about your journey to motherhood.
Yeah, so I kind of have to go a bit back and forth for it to make sense, but hopefully it will add up. So I have PCOS, the polycystic ovarian syndrome, and I was diagnosed about 3 years ago with that, but I kind of always knew that it might be difficult to conceive because I had irregular cycles.
Okay.
So when I got with my ex-partner, we decided very quickly that we would try for a baby because it could take that little bit of extra time. And then in January of 2021, I said, I'm going to really take my health into my own hands, and I'm going to like really work on it, like from the inside out. So I'm overweight, and one of the things to help with PCOS is to lose some weight. But I've lost weight in the past and my cycles were still irregular. So I decided to really look at it holistically. And I started like intuitive eating and like low resistance training, and like the weight loss was kind of a bonus. And my main goal was to regulate my cycles. And that's when I started TikToking, because I wanted to be a bit like accountable and I wanted to have kind of a community to chat to. And then I kind of started Instagram later. Like, it's no massive following or anything, but it's just something that was a really nice way to connect with other people.
Yeah.
Then in May of 2021, I conceived, but I didn't know I had conceived. So because I was so irregular, I hadn't really been taking tests. I would take them randomly, and I had a bleed, and then I had like a lot of pain. So I was going to go to the doctor thinking it was a UTI. So I took a pregnancy test because I know that they can always ask, is there a chance you could be pregnant? And it was positive. So straight away, my heart sank because I was like, this kind of pain isn't normal. I knew that from just knowing, I suppose. And to cut a long story short, it was kind of a week of, am I pregnant or was I pregnant? And by the end of the week, the tests were all negative. So it was decided that I'd had a really early miscarriage, which like it probably could have been considered a chemical pregnancy. But for me, I don't like to consider that because I'd wanted to be pregnant for so long that I felt like I needed to give life to this pregnancy, and I needed to recognize that like my body had, all my hard work had kind of paid off and had done what it was supposed to do or whatever.
Yeah.
And then like myself, my mom thought it was a boy and we named him Kevin, and just like little nice things like that. And then we decided to start trying again pretty much straight away. Completely straight away. Like, I know other people you've talked to have talked about that like need to be pregnant again. Mm-hmm. And I definitely felt that. And I decided then as well to track my basal body temperature. So I did stay away from the testing strips because when you have PCOS, you can have a higher baseline of the LH hormone. So it can't detect it, or it says it's high when it's not. So it's not the same for everyone, but I just decided to not use them. And I found the body temperature was really good. So I conceived the in August, I think. Yeah. And in the meantime, between conceiving and finding out I was pregnant, my partner turned around to me and told me he actually never wanted to have children. So that was obviously really upsetting and heartbreaking, because obviously it was the planned, all of this is very planned. And obviously it's not a relationship podcast or anything, but there's a lot more that I opened my eyes later on that I realized it's all for the best that we went our separate ways, and the timing couldn't have been better in that I found out a week after we broke up that I was pregnant. And if I had found it earlier, potentially we might have still been together, and I know that that wasn't the healthy thing for me or him or the baby. So so we went our separate ways, and then a week later I had sore boobs. They were different sore to like being pregnant, and took a test and positive. So the emotions were crazy, because it was like I was so happy, but then to be dealing with a relationship breakdown at the same time, it was really confusing, if anything. So I told my sister and nobody else for a while. I decided not to tell him until the 12-week mark, because of the previous loss, I was just like convinced, like, oh, it probably won't last. So we'll just wait and see what happens. I was into the GP very quickly, and she sent all my stuff over to the hospital, and they referred me for an early pregnancy scan. But she also said to me if I could afford to go privately to do that. So I went for one at 6 weeks in 3 days and saw a heartbeat, which was the best feeling ever. And then I went to the hospital for one at 8 weeks. So it was really nice to have two very early. It kind of calmed me a little bit, but not a lot of it.
Did you have anyone with you for those scans, or even for the private one?
The private one, I had my sister. She's been like my rock through everything. But yeah. No, not for the early one. The only scan I've had someone in for, or was allowed to, was the 20-week one, which actually COVID-wise, it's been so negative for everyone. But for me, being a single parent and trying to navigate that world, it was the one thing that I actually benefited from, because I haven't been in a waiting room full of couples, which, I mean, it's hard for people who can't have their partner, but for me, I didn't feel so alone throughout the whole experience, that everyone was in the same boat waiting by themselves. But yeah, so everything was fine in the scans, but I still kind of was like, yeah, well, sure, we'll see. I was very negative from day one. I never kind of accepted that I was going to have a baby. And then I had very few symptoms, actually. Like, so I just had a bit of cramping, and that's it. Like, I was tired, didn't have any nausea. I mean, I'm lucky, but, you know, you read about people who get a lot of comfort from the symptoms. Yep. So to not have that was kind of scary. And then when I reached the second trimester, any symptom that I did have disappeared. So I was in, everyone talks about how wonderful that second trimester is, where you've got your energy back. But for me, any symptom I had was gone. I wasn't feeling movement. So it was like this limbo of, I don't know if everything is working inside. And I just like went completely downhill with my mental health. So I told my ex-partner he wanted nothing to do with me or the pregnancy. So that was one thing to deal with. But then the pregnancy, like depression and anxiety, really kicked in. I was just so anxious all the time. And then Christmas time, I was thinking about getting signed off for work for a while. I'm a special education teacher, so I kind of was going to have those 2 weeks off. And I kind of powered through that last week. And then over Christmas, I got COVID at 22 weeks, which was like scary, because when you're pregnant, you don't want to get COVID. But I wasn't that sick. And then it forced me to just stop. I needed to take time off, but I wouldn't do it, basically.
When I hear that, you know, it's so hard when you're pregnant to power through. I can relate, because when I was pregnant with Oliver, I remember getting to a stage where I'm forcing myself to work, and I was so close to having him, and I just had to get signed off. I just had to listen to my body and go, no, just go in and get signed off for both of you, for the sake of you. Because that's when you have to think of, it's not, you're not just thinking about you anymore. And it's really hard to kind of make that connection sometimes, that you think about baby as well.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you, and I think just we're so bad at doing it. Like, we're so bad at just taking that time when we need it. So having COVID forced me, I had no choice. I had the 2 weeks off for Christmas, and then I extended my leave. And because I was at a point where I couldn't leave the house, I couldn't make phone calls. I meant to say before, when I went for my booking appointment, they straight away were like, do you need to talk to the mental health midwife? I was like, yes, I do. So they kind of only start to see you around the 20-week mark. So there was a long time in between of by myself figuring it out. But over that period of being off work, I went back into them and they really started to help me really focus in on the pregnancy side of the anxiety and depression. It wasn't like they weren't able to help me necessarily with the relationship stuff, but to even kind of tackle one element was what I kind of needed to do, I think. Just trying to gather my thoughts here. But it was such a blessing to have them, but at the same time I had so much other stuff to work through that I came out the first appointment, I remember thinking, how am I supposed to do all of this? How am I was really worried that if I'm like this now, am I going to have a baby and am I going to be able to cope? I started to think like, will they take the baby away from me? Like, will I not be able to care for a child? So it was really kind of scary because it's all I've ever wanted. But then to be second guessing, this was really, it was hard. But really slowly, by taking the time, I think, yeah, like that was the key moment for me, was taking.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Taking that time off work. And they gave me really good strategies. Like one of the ones I wouldn't mind sharing it is just, she said to me, thoughts are not facts. Don't believe everything you think. So thoughts are just thoughts. And it was so true. So she was kind of like, go through a checklist and say like, am I bleeding? Am I in pain? Have my waters gone? And then at the stage of when you can see your baby move, is my baby moving? And if you can fulfill that checklist, then tell yourself like, you're just thinking things that are not necessarily true. And if you can't, then that's when you call the hospital and you go in and you get checked out. So having that really simple like mantra going through my head really helped me, because I was every day convinced like the baby was gone or something was gonna happen. So going to see her, telling myself that, just taking the time, it really slowly started to get a bit better. And I do think that I had such an easy pregnancy physically, that I don't know what part of the universe helped me, but I think it's because I needed to have all my energy on my mental health, that if I also was physically really struggling, I don't know what I would have done. I wouldn't have coped at all. So it was almost like one or the other, and I was lucky that I only had one element. And I just constantly kept saying like, oh, I'm so lucky, it's such an easy pregnancy. But it wasn't, but it was just easy in a different way and very difficult in another way, if that makes sense.
It does, yeah.
And I have to say, like, I have the most amazing support network. when we split up, I had to move home to my parents, who have been the most wonderful support to me. My sister is going to be my birth partner, and my friends, just like everyone who could rally around me has rallied around me, which has been amazing. But there's constantly that like little thing in the back of your head, like, ultimately I'm doing this by myself. And you do see reminders of it everywhere, you know, whether it's social media or in the hospital or anywhere, you see reminders that like, I don't have a partner. And I think no one as a child thinks, when I grow up, I want to be a single parent. Like, people choose to solo parent. And I think that's a wonderful choice. And I would have made it down the line if I needed to. But I don't think anyone says, I want to do this by myself. So to not solo parent by choice, it's difficult. And it's just a whole extra layer that you just don't ever kind of go through in your head before it happens. But yeah, I found that for some reason, 30 weeks, things really started to lift for me. I don't know if it's a little bit of, my sister was actually born at 30 weeks and she was fine. So I think there was a little bit of like, well, if Sarah was fine, then I'll be fine. But it was, I began to notice that I wasn't thinking really dark thoughts every day. I didn't feel the need to necessarily go to the mental health midwives as much. I was feeling a lot of movement, obviously. So there was that reassurance. And I just noticed I was having way more good days than bad days. And sometimes I can now look back at that kind of 20-week mark and I just think, gosh, I feel really sad for that person who felt so alone and felt so much in a dark place, because now in hindsight I'm feeling so much more uplifted. I still find that I struggle through things, and coming towards the end of the pregnancy you kind of start to worry about other elements, but as a whole it's gotten so much better.
Do you know what's amazing is those coping mechanisms that they gave you between a 20-week period, you will probably tap into in the early day, like through those sleepless nights, as in when you're doing the late feeds and all that sort of stuff, or you're out for a walk and you're just like wrecked. It'll be great, because I with hypnobirthing, for instance, that's what I use to help me when, you know, you're just wrecked and you just need a bit of a
It's wonderful.
So I'm sure that those tools will help,
an uplifting thing or something. Yeah, definitely. And I have done a little bit of hypnobirthing as well. So I did all of the classes you can do in the hospital, which one of them was an introduction to hypnobirthing. And then I also got, what book was it? It was Mindful Hypnobirthing by Sophie Fletcher. I got that on Audible because I'm kind of like, I can never read nonfiction. So I wanted to listen to something. So that was what was available. And it was brilliant. And her voice is really soothing as well. So listen to that. I am quite like a holistic person generally as well. So I do like a lot of it. I did the Gentle Birth app, which I liked. And then I did pregnancy Pilates as well, which I loved. I found that that hour going in was just like, I switched off completely. Like, I was just focusing on my breathing and my movements. And the where I did it was used to be a physio in the Coombe. So I kind of felt like I was in good hands. Like, she really knows what she's doing, and was great for advice if you were sore in certain places and that kind of thing. So it was wonderful. And then Instagram and TikTok is amazing for different women to like reach out to and share stories with and connect with. And then your podcast has been like a godsend when it comes to preparing for labor. Like, I'm actually excited for it, which is mad. I didn't think, if you had asked me a year ago, like, how would you feel about having a baby? I'd be like, oh, I don't know. But like, it's hearing everyone's stories, it's like, it just really makes you see that like, there's so many different ways that babies are born, that like, you kind of just expect nothing. It's like, hope for the best or whatever, and the baby's coming whether you want them to or not, and to just like do all the tools you can do. And I'm really excited to see how I birth my baby, if that makes sense. Like, yeah, I feel a bit of a weirdo saying I'm excited for it.
And what are your preferences? Have you drawn up a list of what you would like in the hospital?
Yeah, I have. And actually, one of the things I really wanted was the hydrotherapy labor pool. So that's kind of new in my hospital. But they basically have a BMI cutoff of 35, I think, at your booking appointment. And my BMI was 36.9. So I was devastated when I found this out a few weeks ago. And I really pushed it. I like was trying to contact all the different people. And I was basically kind of told, well, it's health and safety. The manufacturer says, and I knew as soon as I said manufacturer says, that was it. It was game over. And I felt so annoyed because BMI is such an archaic way of like measuring your health and your ability. And yeah. I, like I said, physically, I've had such an easy pregnancy that I was like, I can move around. I can jump in out of a bath. No bother to me. But that was kind of the end. I even started to look into home birth. But because I'm living at home, I just felt like my animal instincts wouldn't fully relax if I was here rather than my own kind of space. So that's why I'm still going to the hospital. But it annoyed me that like I could labor in the bath here if I was doing a home birth, but I can't labor in a bath in a hospital where there's medical professionals, like lots of them, because of my weight. And it's something that I think I'd love to try and like look into more after I've had the baby. But when they realized how kind of upset I was about this, they did let me come up for a tour of the labor suites or whatever, the delivery suites, which they haven't been doing because of COVID. But I think they could just see that I was getting quite anxious about it when I realized I couldn't do it. And so I really want to try natural, is what I've kind of said, is I want to go in and use the TENS machine and my hypnobirthing and try my very best. But I'm very open to whatever will happen as well. I think the main reason is I'd love to be able to just be walking around the whole time, and after having baby to be up and out and showering and get home as quickly as I can. But I've never given birth before, so we will see. And just general things, like I want obviously as long cord clamping as I can. I want to have like that golden hour skin to skin. I really want to breastfeed. I've been harvesting colostrum now for a week, and I'm getting loads. So I'm really hoping that's like a good omen that it can go well. What else do I want? Just, there was nothing unusual on it as well. When I went through it with the doctors, there was nothing unusual. So yeah, and actually that's another thing that my weight limited was, I wanted to go the domino scheme. I wanted to go with the midwife, but because of my weight, I wasn't allowed. I had to stay in the hospital, which again was frustrating because it's been so straightforward, but I suppose they have to have their things in place. But going forward, I think that if I ever have babies in the future, that I would definitely look more into home birth and that kind of thing, because the kind of care I want is the midwife kind of way rather than the doctor way.
And your birth partner, your sister, has she done any prep?
She has. Like, so she trained as a nurse. She's not a nurse, but she saw babies being birthed. So,
oh, cool.
Yeah, so she's not scared or anything, which is great. And she's excited, I think. She did, they had a pilot class for partners, which, now to be fair, we thought it was kind of all about labor, but it was more about like the aftermath, which I mean, she'll be around for, but not as much. So she did that. I kind of made her listen to the chapter in the book that partners can listen to, gone through my preferences with her. But I think just the fact that she's excited and she's seen it happen before, because she doesn't have any of her own children, that she's like ready, and she's got like her own little bag packed and stuff in her house ready to go as well. So no, we're really excited to do it together, actually.
The episode that I'm putting out on Monday, 106, is with Charda, and her first birth, it was an unplanned pregnancy, and she wasn't with her partner at the time, and she gave birth in hospital with her sister and her best friend.
That's
mom and her best friend. And the pictures, actually, I don't know if you saw them today. Did you?
I did see them, actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, when I saw the pictures, I thought, oh, I can't wait to listen to this one.
Yeah. Oh, it's a really beautiful story. Like, and she says, she's like, it was just amazing because she was in a room just full of women who were there to support her. And then she ended up having a little girl. So at one stage she was sitting or kneeling, being held by her mother with a midwife on the ground and her best friend by her side. And then her baby on her chest. It was just, I had goosebumps listening to it. So like, that's the kind of environment that you're going into there with your sister by your side. It's lovely. Yeah, it's cool.
I can't wait. And actually, you know, like when I originally found out I was having a boy, I'm not going to lie, I had that gender disappointment because I was like, I'm going to be this empowered woman. It's going to be myself, my sister, my mom. Like, we're going to raise this little bad girl. Like, it's going to be amazing. Which seems, now I'm like obsessed with the fact of having a boy and I'm so excited and I get to raise this amazing man and everything. But at the time I was like, I really wanted all girls, like girl power. But yeah, I think gender disappointment definitely is a thing and people don't really talk about it, but I'm over it now. And that's actually why I found out the gender. I always said I wouldn't, but because I was kind of like, I want a girl, I knew I'd need to get over it if it wasn't a girl. So I'm glad I found out.
Yeah, no, boys are, just get ready for the random peeing.
I've heard.
You're changing that thing. Or what was it? I was so tired in the middle of the night sometimes and I'd feed him and it changes nappy. I changed his nappy after every feed, which was completely unnecessary, but I just felt like I had to. But I would be so tired that I would forget to put his little man inside his nappy.
Oh, God.
So wake up and I was like, why is he soaking wet? It's because his little willy was like sticking out the side of the nappy. So don't do that.
Okay, noted.
Yeah.
And the name I've chosen is like really special meaning. So I'm just like, I'm just really excited basically to meet him now.
Yeah. And it could be any time. It's so exciting. And you have your bag packed and everything ready to go. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm probably the most organized person you'll ever meet. I've had them packed for a long time. They've been in the car for a couple of weeks. Yeah, I'm so ready for him to come now. I'm just looking at everything around me, waiting to fit him into all the little spaces now. So I can't wait. And my cousin was due a few days before me and she had him 2 weeks ago. So I got to go and give him a cuddle and practice with a newborn, which was really nice. So
thank you so much. I'm really looking forward to, send me a message on Instagram because I'm not going to be able to wait very long. Yeah, I do. And we'll catch up then when baby's here and hopefully I'll get to see him in your arms.
Please God, yeah.
Yeah. Cool, thank you. If you are enjoying the podcast, I would love if you could take a moment, pop on to whatever podcast platform you listen to our chats every week, pop in a little review, rate it, let me know if you're enjoying it. If you're not, send me an email, send me a DM. It goes such a long way in keeping the podcast afloat. And if you want to support even more so, you can click onto the Acast link in the show notes where you can listen to our weekly chats ad-free and also contribute to keeping the podcast afloat. So thank you to those of you who have supported me. I really appreciate it. Chat to you soon.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.